what was going on statewide.
Right.
Because at the land grant college, we got pulled into these type things. And so I sat in a position where the president is being approached to do something or other, and he needs a lot of information, and I'm feeding information. And then I can get out of the road and watch it all happen.
Right, right.
And for a large part of that time, I was able to sit against the wall on the Board of Regents meeting.
Yeah.
And that was always an interesting thing, especially when you had Elmer Rasmussen at his prime.
I imagine. Yeah.
So when did you start raising pigs?
Well.
Or is that the proper thing, hogs? Is that better?
Any way you want to put it. When we went out there, our intention was dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were picking up, we couldn't afford to buy cows. I mean, cows were expensive. And I'd go buy calves. I'd get calves from the university. I'd get calves from Kramer. And we were trying to build up a herd that way.
Mm-hmm.
And in 62, well, we'd bought a cow from the university that they had surplus. She'd lost one quarter of her bag, and they surplused her. And so, good stock. I mean, nothing wrong with the cow. And look for some offspring, you know. And so we were building up a herd.
Oh, my goodness.
And in 62, when our barn burned, we lost five cows.
Okay.
They burned up in that fire. And at the same time, we had a sow and a boar.
Very good.
And a bunch of fattening pigs that were, 100 pounders. And the only animal that survived that fire was the boar and the sow. And this boar was a registered boar that we'd picked up down in Washington. And after the fire cooled down, we had just moved the pigs in from an outside shelter they had. And after the fire cooled down a little bit, breaking day in the morning, I heard a noise down there in the old pig pen. I went down there, and here's this sow and this boar down there in that old pig pen. They'd broke out of the fire and gone back home, you know?
Yeah.
And we lost everything else. Well, that old boar had been burned, his whole rump. He burned his tail off, and big holes in his rump and so on. And the sow was burned all down the back. She was just blistered all down the full length of her back. And so we had a dugout where I'd put some silage in. And so I tunneled into there, and I got a bunch of straw and covered that all up, put a framework up and covered it all up. And I put those two pigs in that shelter. And that boar couldn't get up. After a couple of days, he wasn't able to get up. And so every morning I'd go out to feed him, and I'd turn him over. And I'd turn him twice a day. So I've heard of, I got a nurse here, bed sores, So I kept turning him and working with him. And lo and behold, here one day, I come home at night, and he wasn't where he'd been in the morning. He's moving on his own.
Yeah.
And he got up and around, and then a short time later, that sow dropped a litter of seven pigs. And she lay there. I can see that to this day. Her back had been burned, and she had a strip of hide about 4 inches wide, full length of her back, that was loose. It was just fastened at each end. And here are these little pigs nursing, and then they'd get around behind her, and they'd get to
playing with that.
And they finally pulled that flap loose, so we cut it off. Mm-hmm. So we...
What started your fire? Did you ever know?
Well, I think so. It was pretty cold. It was Thanksgiving night, and I had a spare battery for my car in the barn, and a battery charger. And one of the cows was not where she belonged, and I think she got loose, the carcass after the fire. I think she'd gotten loose and gone up there to get some in the feed bin and shorted out the battery charger, and you know, that's the only thing I can figure.
Yeah.
And anyhow, about that time the creamery had folded up, so there wasn't any place to market milk, so why have cows? So we started raising pigs. And so then we were backyard butchering and selling half carcasses to friends. We had friends in town that, you know, they'd like to get some fresh.
We got probably more into pigs because of 4-H. Dale had a pig and did well with it. So the Kiwanis bought him a pig, a registered sow or gelt, out of Washington.
Hmm.
And she was one of our backbones of our herd.
Yeah.
And it just grew.
We ended up with one of the 4-H pigs because one of the kids didn't come and collect.
This wasn't our kids. We weren't into 4-H yet.
No, but we ended up with the 4-H.
They were offered the 4-H, but they ran out of kids before they ran out of piglets.
And unfortunately, we got one that hadn't had access to the mother, so the milk was not carrying all the vitamins it should. And the piglet started going in circles.
Okay, now look at this story's in ours. They can read it there.
Sorry
to cut you off.
We got into the pig business strictly by accident, through 4-H and so on. Well, then in 68, the state hired a meat inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't market any meat anymore. It had to be slaughtered in an approved slaughterhouse. Well, the nearest slaughterhouse was Palmer's.
Yeah.
So we were either out of the pig business or in the processing business. Well, Stan Mihevich was the meat inspector. And Stan is about as strict and tough a meat inspector as you could find. But he was fair. He was reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And you can work with the man, you know. A lot of people condemned Stan for being so strict, but it was in the book. I mean, he wasn't doing anything he shouldn't have done. And it was the same every day. Mm-hmm. It made no difference. And this you can live with, or we could anyhow. So with his guidance, we built a slaughterhouse and run it. And just to show you the kind of guy Stan was, he had other responsibilities. We weren't his only responsibility, you know. And anyhow, he had to go to Delta, and we were going to butcher that day, so we did what he called a delayed inspection. He would come out, and we had to have our animals in the holding pens, and he would come and check them and be sure they were all up and healthy, and then we would tattoo the pigs, and when we butchered them, we had to save the tattoo on the carcass. We skinned the pigs, and we had to leave that tattoo on the carcass so he could identify it. And he would come back and do a delay. We'd have to save all the entrails and everything in pans and tag them to match the carcasses. Well, Stan wasn't going to be back that evening, but he had a military friend, I guess you'd call him, cohort, that would cover for him. And so Dick came out that evening to do the delayed inspection. We had just finished butchering, and it was cold. The kids had a 4-H meeting that night, and we were in a hurry to get done, and we'd used all of our available hot water to get the place cleaned up, and here Dick showed up to do the inspection. And Dick came in, and he said, you got a sterilizer going? I said, no. Well, I can't inspect without a sterilizer going. Well, yes and no. I mean, if he run into an abscess or something, yes, he'd have to sterilize his knife. But if you never run into one, you don't have to, you know. But he wouldn't touch it till he had that sterilizer going. Well, I didn't have any hot water. I had 100-degree water. And so I put it in the sterilizer and plugged it in so it would get hot, and they're kind of slow. And he'd go over the thermometer and check it. When it got up to 160 degrees, he went and did his inspection. But we'd sat there for 30 minutes waiting for that sterilizer to get hot. And so anyhow, he never did use the sterilizer. He didn't run into any abscess or anything to contaminate his knife, and he did the inspection, and everything was fine. He was out in the office doing his paperwork, and I was back in the plant taking care of all the intros and stuff, putting it away. I came out in the office, and here's a black lab dog laying there on the floor in the office. And I said, what in the world is that, Dick? Oh, he said, I had my black lab with me out in the car, and he said, he got cold, so he said, I brought him in to let him warm up while I was doing my paperwork. I didn't say a word. So, next morning, I got on the phone, and I called Stan. And I said, hey, Stan, I said, what's the rule on animals around the plant? Well, he said, absolutely none inside. And he said, if you have anything outside that attracts them, he said, what are you asking me that for? You know that. And I said, I just wanted to hear you say it. Why? Well, I said, Dick had his black lab in the office last night. He what? I have never seen Dick to this day.
Oh, yeah, no.
And that's the way Stan operated, you know? If you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And I appreciate that.
Yep. Well, now, his wife was an extension. Why do I know her?
Yeah.
Melissa?
Yeah.
Melissa Mohevich. Very familiar name.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, unless she had to do with the extension or
story. She did.
Yeah, she worked.
I have to keep my, see if I can get my memory.
I thought she worked with younger children somehow. I can't remember.
It could have been League of Women Voters or something like that. In fact, I bet that's what it was. I bet you.
Yeah.
But I remember her being a very agreeable gal. Oh.
No, I've had people just, how can you get along with Stanley? I don't have any trouble getting along with Stanley. If you do things right, you don't have any problem. If you try to pull a fast one, look out, you're in big trouble.
That's the way it ought to be.
That's right. If more of our bureaucrats were like that, we'd all be better off.
Amen.
Yep. But then what finally got us out of the hog business was the idea that we had to have a big plant. And that put us plumb out of it.
Too much capital involved, I suppose, another thing.
Well, the state had a program going where they were going to develop agriculture throughout the state, and that was all well and good. And they had, I think they had some good sound plans, but we have a limit on our administration, and when it changed, that wasn't part of the new plan.
Well, that's the trouble with our system.
And you can't develop agriculture on an 8-year plan. it won't work. And that's...
Well, it's interesting, the other things they're trying, like the elk farming and the bison farming and whatever else, trying to get away around some of these things, at least, trying to find something that'll work.
Yep. Well, you know, like when we were in the hog business, we had a setup with Market Basket where they would take so many cases of loins every week, so many cases of hams, so many cases of shoulders, and we had that set up every week, and we were buying pigs from Bannon down in Delta. We were buying 20 pigs a week from Bannon besides our own to supply that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they quit. And boy, our freezer started filling up real fast. So we went down to find out why. Well, Farmland came in and beat your price. I said, what do you mean, beat our price? I said, you're the ones that set the price, and I just said I could produce it for that. Well, Farmland came in and cut your price by
10 cents.
10 cents, yeah. Well, what they had done, and I asked them, I said, well, did you give us a chance to compete? Well, no, we just figured you couldn't do it, so we ordered from Farmland.
Is it a Market Basket?
Yeah. Well, what Farmland did, of course, they felt the pinch when they weren't getting the business.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fresh pork was coming in here by air. So Farmland said, well, we can beat that. And they were packaging it up down in Seattle or wherever, and pumping the air out and pumping in nitrogen into these plastic containers and sending it up here under refrigeration. Now, it'd be a week or 10 days getting here, but it wouldn't age because there was no oxygen. It was nitrogen packed.
Yeah.
And so it was fresh pork, but it was 2 weeks old.
Technically.
Yeah. And that's what we have to compete with.
Oh, boy. That's amazing what people can come up with.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did the same thing with the milk, with the farm.
Oh, yeah. You'll read in Libris, it's all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. They did the same thing.
The dairies all went under.
Yeah. So anytime we can produce something here, the West Coast will figure out how
to do it cheaper.
It.
Yeah. Not pressure, but cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So when you're fighting that kind of a battle, it's tough. It's tough.
So what's going on with your place out there now?
Well, the state wound up with all the frontage. Our buildings and everything.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Well, when this big development came about, they insisted that we had to have a big plant in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I argued and argued about that. I said, our plant will handle anything there is for a long time.
Yeah, we didn't submit a...
We didn't even submit a bid for that first go-around. And they threw them all out, and then they came back to us and wanted to know why we didn't bid on it. Because I said, there's one thing, there's no guarantee that there will be any product to run through that big plant. And I said, I can raise enough to keep this one busy. But a big plant, I can't guarantee to have enough animals to keep it busy. Oh, well, no problem. We'll take care of that. We have a contract that says, in 1988, there would be 11,000 hogs available for slaughter, and payback on this plant will be based on number of animals available.
And there was so many head of cattle to
and cattle and everything else. So we went ahead and built the plant. Well, before we got the plant built, Hammond was out of office and Sheffield was in there, and they shut down everything. We got the plant all done and ready for operation. I called in Hal Ward, who was the loan agent, and
Ed.
What?
Ed Arobi.
No, the director of ag.
Oh.
Ed wasn't in there.
No.
The guy from Minnesota, a little, he was director of ag. Anyhow, I called them into the office, or into the plant there one day. Gee, they looked over, yeah, this is nice. When are you gonna start butchering? I said, I'm not. Here's the keys. You can have it. I said, there aren't enough animals in this state to pay the electric bill on this place. And according to the agricultural report in 1988, there were 600 head of hogs in the entire state of Alaska. And old Hal Ward, he got real hot over that. And he decided we were going to give him that plant in town. He was going to take our farm out here. And we had made up the paperwork properly that they weren't tied together that tight. And so we did owe some on the plant we had built in the barn and so on. And so they started pushing, adding interest on penalties and penalties
on the interest. And
we finally, when I forget the next director of ag from Eagle River, he and I got together one time, and our bill to the state was less than $300,000, $250,000.
It wasn't even that, $230,000.
Yeah. And our appraisal on our property, the borough tax appraisal, was over $600,000. And they were trying to take the whole place? No. So he and I worked this out, and we got an appraisal, and they wouldn't go for the borough tax appraisal. We had to get a separate appraiser in and everything. And then we finally, to make a long story short, we finally agreed to settle for a dollar value.
By that time, they had
the value gone up,
over $300,000.
Yeah. And, the kids were all gone. They had to go out and make a living, you know.
Yeah.
And so we just, she and I sat and looked at it. We could keep the road frontage and the buildings and so on and get rid of most of the acreage. Or we could go the other way. Well, what's going to be worth more in 10 years, these old buildings or a bunch of acreage? So we let the state have the house and the barn and the whole bit, slaughterhouse, all the road frontage, and we kept the land behind.
It must have hurt.
Hey, there were a lot of sleepless nights in that house, believe me.
It was such a relief when it was over. It was just like,
yeah, I suppose.
Big cloud lifted. Looking back on it, they did us a favor.
Yeah, probably so. But that's hindsight.
We would have been working there, the two of us alone, not able to handle it.
Yeah.
Not able to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, we've made 4 trips to Europe. We've been to every state in the Union and most of the provinces.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. George, you're going to cook us some soup? Or is it cooked?
Yeah, I think it's cooked.
Oh. You know, we've had so many potato farmers around here that we figured that was the appropriate thing to feed them all.
Yeah.
Potato soup.
Right.
And
Did you get that good picture of Henry Gettinger that was in the paper with his potatoes? I just saw it now as I was going through it. That's what I remember.
No, I didn't. I wonder if... Oh, darn.
I don't know if it's in this one or...
Well, we've got to get Henry's stories out of him because he was early in on the co-op.
Oh,
the
Farmers Co-op. Oh, yeah.
And then he was an ag inspector for a while.
Yeah.
I think it was probably he was an ag inspector that Russo Zula managed to tease into death.
Oh, yes.
And
Well, another one we didn't talk about at all is Dick...
Underwood?
Dick Underwood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
As far as I know.
I saw Patsy not too long ago.
We see his boys in at the store and whatnot, and of course one of them lives right down here.
Oh, really?
Between here and the highway, yeah. Tell me their names, I'll tell you which one, but right now it's getting away from me.
Oh.
Here's one with Paul Schoen and his cabbage. Oh, boy. Paul Schoen. Okay,
now,
I don't remember him, I guess. Yeah, they're down there.
He bought Henry's potato.
Henry's potato, which?
Equipment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I guess I was thinking, what I got hung up on there was Loud's potato seltzer,
oh, yeah.
You know, that they sold off to DNS or whoever they were.
Just saw Henry. Where was it? Where are you, Henry?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'd like to know.
I'll take what I do here.
No, that's just pictures.
Oh, God.
Give me pictures.
That goes back a day or two. Here's your dad's old Model A. I married a pretty good looking gal, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. Our kids don't believe, I'm sure, that we ever could have looked like that.
Yeah.
And the grandkids know it's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, I saw Henry just minutes ago.
Yeah.
Well, this is a wonderful collection of everything. Yeah. Think of any other names that we've missed? Well,
tell you another one. Old Curtis Roberts.
What's the first name?
Curtis. He worked for the highway department, and he was an operator. And he retired in 57 in Homestead, down at the end of what is now Grange Hall Road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was a widower, and he used to come up to our place a lot in the first years. We used to tease old Curtis. The winter before he retired, he'd been working in the welding shop. He was sharpening a chisel, and somehow it caught and ran in his hand and tore up this joint, and he had a stiff finger.
Mm.
Well, the next summer, he was running a D8 cat, and that finger. And the guy, what are you pointing at? And he had to cut off.
Oh.
Yeah. But then there was Don Roberts. You saw his picture in here when you're going through the
election stuff. Yeah.
That's his son. Then he had another son, D. Roberts.
Oh.
And D still lives here in town. He has security heating.
You know Ann, I'm sure. Ann Roberts.
Ann Roberts was Horace Durr's daughter.
Well, I don't think so. But now, Dee was the one that was pretty political.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be he was in the papers or someplace a lot.
Ann is Gilbert's, what's her name?
Donna Gilbert.
Donna Gilbert's right-hand person.
Oh, well, that figures that,
yeah.
That all fits in.
Yeah. Yeah, ties together, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here's... Yeah, I think we've either got that picture or one like it someplace.
There,
of
Henry and
Carl. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But old man Roberts, he wanted to raise quail, or pheasants,
mm-hmm.
and quail, you know.
Game birds of some
birds
kind.
Birds of some kind, and have hunters out there. That was, and so he wrote to a seed company in Iowa, and wanted to get a variety of sample kind of grains to raise for these birds. Anyhow, he had written to him on January, February, and ordered this and wanted it sent by air freight. And he came up to our place one day, picked up his mail, and here he had this letter. And this company had said they couldn't, they figured there was some mistake because the air freight on that was going to be more expensive than the seed was. And was he sure he wanted it sent air freight? Mm-hmm. Old Curtis sat down, he wrote out a $75 check and wrote him a letter and told him yes, he wanted air freight and they'd better get it on the way or miss the whole growing season.
Too late, yeah.
And a few days later he came up to our place. He was hot. He was just fuming. And he had this letter from the seed company with his check in it. He says, sorry, we can't do business with a foreign country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Old Curtis was about to have a tizzy.
Oh. Now, Watson, what you'd like to drink? We have good water. I think we have milk. Don't we have milk?
Skim milk. Water. Water suits me fine.
And is water okay?
That's fine. That's very good. Yeah.
All right.
Well, we've more or less quit drinking coffee. And
well, there's an old black cat.
Well, that's an old tailless black cat. Uh-huh. But he came that way. He doesn't know cats are supposed to have tails. This is Nogi.